Corinthians, if you'll look there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. When we think of the Apostle Paul, we usually think this mighty man of God, this great missionary, pioneer, church builder, writer of much of the New Testament, and that's what immediately comes to mind when you think of this great Apostle Paul. But I think you also will notice in several places in Scripture where the Apostle Paul suffered. He went through things, and here in this chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, he went through something that was extremely severe. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." What he's saying is that I was convinced I was going to die. I was dying under the present stress and of the situation that he was in. He said, "I had the sentence of death in me, that we should not trust in ourselves." And notice the change. He said, "I'm under this sentence of death, but I determined that this fiery trial was not going to cause me to not look to Jesus, to not look to the Lord." Said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raised the dead. Amen. He was really saying the worst thing you can face is you can get killed, you could die. He said, "But I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm going to trust in the one that can bring resurrection into that situation that I'm in, who delivereth us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." He said he has delivered us, and we're trusting that he will deliver us no matter what we might face. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." He's thanking the Corinthian Christians for praying for him in the terrible circumstance that he was going through. Everybody goes through different types of seasons in your life. There are emotional times, emotional seasons, when we're up or we're down. Sometimes it's hard to even explain it. You just have a day or maybe a few days where your spirits are low and you don't really understand what's happened or why that you're in that kind of a circumstance. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about our emotions that can fluctuate with just, you know, different kinds of circumstances that we're in. But there's a very real spiritual thing that we go through in our walk with the Lord, a spiritual circumstances that we need to understand a little bit about and how to come out of it, how to come out of a spiritual low. 150 years ago, ships that sailed around the world were dependent completely upon the wind to blow them. They were driven by sails that were raised, and there were no engines, no powered engines. They were completely dependent upon their sails catching the wind to push them around the world. And you've heard the term trade winds. There were certain areas of the ocean that sailors learned were more conducive, that the winds were more conducive to be able to to get from the east to the west or from the west to the east. And so the term trade winds, or winds that were conducive for those that were traveling from one part of the world to another part of the world so that they could conduct their business. And so that's where the term trade winds come from. But there was also a dangerous area. The trade winds were near the equator and to the north and the south of the equator. But there was a dangerous area there near the equator. And the sailors, the nautical term for this that is even a modern day term that is used is doldrums, that you would get into an area that they called the doldrums. And when your ship would move into that dangerous area, then suddenly the winds just left and you were sitting still in the water. And sailors feared this area called the doldrums that was about close to the equator, and it was an area that was near the area of the trade winds. But if they drifted into this area of the doldrums, then the ship would just sit still and would not move at all. There would be no wind, and sometimes this would last for days, even weeks, that this would go sometimes. There are records of ships that have gotten stuck in the doldrums so long that as many as one-third of the crew died because of the lack of fresh water and fresh food. And so it's a very real thing that now today it's not an issue because we have modern ships with engines that are powered by diesel or whatever. And so that area is not a danger now. But 150, 200 years, 300 years ago, all the ships traveling were dependent upon the wind and upon their sails to get where they needed to go. And if they slipped into that area called the doldrums, then they might sit there for days or weeks. And it was a very dangerous and discouraging and depressing situation. The English poet by the name of Samuel Coleridge, he wrote about this circumstance. He said, "Day after day, day after day, we stuck, nor breath nor motion, as idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean." He was describing the condition of a ship that would slip into that danger zone called the doldrums. And I just thought, my, what a spiritual lesson that is to all of us, to recognize that you can find yourself slipping into a spiritual condition where you're just sitting still. You're not making any progress. I mean, you haven't turned your back on the Lord or on the things of the Lord, but you just can't seem to get anywhere. You can't seem to make any progress. And you're suddenly without any wind in your sails. And you're feeling like, I'm in a slump. I'm listless. I'm not making any progress spiritually. And if you've ever been in that place, it's a pretty discouraging place to be in, where you know that you need God and you know that you need to be making progress. You need to be growing. You need to be moving in your walk with the Lord. But you found yourself in a spiritual zone that for some reason you cannot move forward. You can't. You're just not making any progress. What do you do? And how do you get out of this circumstance? How do you get out of this circumstance that I'm using as a spiritual application today, of the doldrums? And actually, that's a term that's used by folks in mental health. They use that term when someone gets into a state where they are in depression and discouraged and can't seem to make any progress, but I'm not talking about mental illness necessarily. I'm talking about a spiritual condition that you can find yourself in where you're just not moving forward. You're not making spiritual progress, and you want to do something about it. One of the things I think that is important, if you are currently in a state right now where you just feel like, I'm just not growing, I'm not moving forward, I'm not progressing in my walk with the Lord, a good thing to do is to remember and to focus on what it was like when you first got saved. Amen. There was a love for God. There was a zeal for the things of God. There was a hunger, and I've noticed this with young Christians, young converts. They have such a hunger for the things of God, such a hunger to be in the house of God, such a desire to have God's word and to be in fellowship with the people of God. That's what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 51, in that great psalm of repentance, where he said, "Please restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." David had slipped away from his fellowship with God and had moved into a zone where he was not able to really be what God wanted him to be. And so now he's praying a prayer. "Lord, I want to get back to what I was. I want to get back into that place of real fellowship with you once again." Amen. Revelation chapter 2, describing the condition of the Laodicean Christians, where they have slipped away from their first love. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do your first works all over again." He was just saying, get back to that place that you were in when you first came to the Lord. Do you remember how it was? Do you remember your love for the Lord and the things of God and the zeal that you had for the things of God? Oh Lord, let us get back to that place that we were, and restore us to the place of our first love that we had for the Lord. Amen. One of the reasons why we get into this spiritual state of the doldrums is we allow ourselves to drift. We allow ourselves to drift. You see, drifting is kind of a gradual moving, and sometimes the drift, you're not even aware that you're drifting. If you've ever been to the ocean, or if you've ever been to a lake, you can get out on an inner tube or some kind of a floating device and just float around for a little while, and when you kind of realize, whoa, I have drifted way far from the shore. I am way further away from the shore than I realized that I was. It's just a gradual moving away from that closeness, that fellowship, that walk with the Lord, and it's easy to drift. If you're not careful, you'll drift into that zone, that doldrum zone, and you'll find yourself just at a stop. You're not making any progress in the things of the Lord. You're not becoming what the Lord has called you to be. You don't understand why you're in that state that you're in. You're just stuck, and you're not moving forward. It's because you've left your first love. It's because you've allowed yourself to drift away from that place of fellowship that you had with the Lord. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip," or so that we won't drift away from this place that we've had with the Lord. And you can find yourself drifting a lot quicker than you could have ever imagined, drifting in a place that you're away from your close fellowship with the Lord. And before long, the Bible isn't important to you. Prayer isn't as essential to you as it was. Fellowship in the house of God, easy to miss, easy to not be in the house of the Lord. It's just a pattern that sometimes we can get set in our life, and before you know it, you have slipped away and drifted away, and you find yourself in a place you can't feel God, you can't hear the voice of the Lord, and you're in a place where you're feeling pressures, maybe in family or your finances or maybe your health or whatever that you're going through, and you're finding yourself in a struggle and you're overwhelmed because you've drifted away from that close place of fellowship with the Lord. How do you get out of this? How do you get out of this place where you're kind of at a stalemate and you're not progressing, you're not moving forward in your walk with the Lord? Well, those sailors, day after day, they would watch the horizon, and they would even climb up into the top, into the crow's nest, looking for any sign, even a small wave, that meant there's a breeze coming. There's a breeze coming. And so they would look and they would wait and they would watch day after day after day. So I would just suggest that we, if you find yourself in a position like that where you're just spiritually at a stop and you're not growing, and you're not moving, and you're not accomplishing the things that God wants to accomplish in your life and through your life, then set a watch. Set a watch and wait on the Lord. Amen. Set a watch and wait on the Lord. And ask the Lord, you know, get your mind off your present circumstances and begin to focus on the possibilities of what God can do. Set a watch and believe that God can work in your life. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Colossians 4 and 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. So get your mind off of your present circumstance that you're in and get your eyes set upon the Lord, upon the promises of God, upon the word of God. Set a watch and wait on the Lord and wait for God to reveal himself for you. Whenever those sailors would see just the slightest sign of a wave that the wind might be coming, then the whole ship would just erupt with a celebration of rejoicing, because they knew that those sails that were just laying there limp on the mast were getting ready to fill up with wind, and their ship was getting ready to move forward, and they were not going to be stuck in the doldrums anymore, but the wind was going to blow them out of that situation. Praise God. I do believe that if you'll set a watch and wait on the Lord, that God will reveal himself to you. He'll pour his spirit out upon you, and he'll help you in your time of need. Praise God. You know, these sailors, they recognized that they were experienced sailors. That was pretty much their life. But this was a situation that didn't matter how skillful that they were, they couldn't do anything without the wind. They couldn't do anything. They were completely dependent. All of their abilities, all of their skills as sailors couldn't help them out of the doldrums. They were caught and they were helpless. Let me tell you, I do believe that one of the best things that can happen in your life is for you to come to the circumstance in your life where you recognize, Lord, I can't do anything about this. I'm in this position. It's out of my power. I can't do anything about it. And you just throw up your hands and say, Lord, I want you to move me out of this place. I want you to get me out of this circumstance. And I can't do it. I'm completely dependent upon you. John 15, for without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. You can do nothing. But if you'll put your trust in the Lord and call upon the Lord and put your and be dependent upon him. Amen. Don't think you can solve your problems. Don't think you can figure out your problems and on your own. You need to be dependent and trust in the Lord and believe that God is the only one that can bring you out of the situation that you are in. Amen. You see, the answer to the predicament of the spiritual doldrums is the wind of the Spirit. Amen. It is the breath of God. Amen. The worst of circumstances can be revived by the breath of God. Amen. God created man. He formed him out of the dust of the earth. You can't get any drier or any more lifeless than a body shaped out of the dust of the earth. But that's what God did. He formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that lifeless form made out of the dust of the earth became a living soul. Amen. It was the breath of God that brought life into the most dead and hopeless situation. You remember the vision of the prophet Ezekiel that came and was shown that valley of dry bones? It was not just a dead army. It was a dried up army. It says, and behold, they were very dry. I'm telling you, that was an army that had not only been defeated, but now they're nothing but dry bones in the sun. There's no possibility there of any life to come to that situation. But then it says in verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Praise God. What a prophecy that God gave to the prophet Ezekiel. It says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet and became an exceeding great army. Glory to God. The answer to the doldrums, to the spiritual doldrums, the answer is the breath of God. Amen. The wind of the Spirit of God blowing upon your life situation. Oh, breath of God, breathe upon your people. Breathe upon the church. Pour out your Spirit, oh God, and breathe upon us once again. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 19, the disciples are in hiding. They're behind closed doors. Jesus has been crucified, and now they're in hiding for fear that they're next. The Bible says that the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus that stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So those disciples that are hiding for fear, they believe all their hopes are gone. All their hopes had been placed in Jesus to be the Messiah. But they witnessed him being crucified. They witnessed him being placed in the tomb. All of their hopes are gone. And now they're hiding for fear. Nothing but death is hanging over the hearts of those heartbroken disciples. But then Jesus appeared. Glory to God. Then Jesus stepped into the room. And he spoke to them, and he encouraged them, and he showed them his wounds, and he showed them that he had been victorious over the grave and over death, and had come forth victorious. And then he breathed upon them. He breathed on them. And just like the wind blew into the sails of those ships in the 17 and 1800s, so did the wind of the Spirit blow into the hearts of those disciples, and the Spirit of God blowed into their lives and prepared them for the task and the work that was ahead for them to accomplish what God wanted them to do. Glory to God. The answer to the spiritual doldrums is the wind of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It'll make all the difference. It'll cause your dry spirit, your dry soul, your indifferent spirit that's just sitting idly here, not making any progress, not moving forward, not accomplishing what God wants you to do with your life. It'll bring new life into your daily existence. The power of the Spirit of God will equip you and empower you to accomplish what God wants you to do. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2, they were gathered in obedience to the Lord there in the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Amen. These same disciples experienced the wind from heaven, the wind of the Spirit of God. And their spirits were just like those sails that filled up with the wind that empowered them to move forward and to accomplish what they were going to be able to accomplish by the power of the Spirit of God. And the church was born, and the church began to grow, and it moved forward in the power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, if you have found yourself in the spiritual doldrums, you're just floating along, you're not making any spiritual progress, you need the wind of the Spirit of God. You need the wind of the Holy Ghost to blow upon your life this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I've noticed people find themselves in a place of just, you know, listless, not moving forward, maybe defeated, discouraged in their present circumstance. And I've witnessed people over the years that needed help from God, and for some reason, they allow their trouble to drive them away from God. Instead of calling on the Lord, instead of running to God, I've witnessed people get into these spiritual doldrums, and then they don't show up to church as much as they should. They don't get in the altars and seek the Lord like they should. Instead, they just withdraw and stay in that state of spiritual listlessness and not moving forward, not doing the will of God, not accomplishing what God has called them to accomplish. What a bad mistake to do that. Amen. Let me tell you, we need the people of God. We need the house of God, the presence of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, the people of God should strengthen and edify each other. Amen. You should leave the house of God the better because you have been in the house of God among his people. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is Paul writing to Timothy during a time that he was in prison in Rome. And this is what he says. He said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He says, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain," which means this friend, this brother in the Lord, Onesiphorus, would go and visit him while he was in prison in Rome. He said, he wasn't ashamed of my chain, but when he would come, he oft refreshed me. That phrase is a wonderful phrase. Basically, what Paul was saying, when he would come to see me, it was like a breath of fresh air. Amen. You know people like that? Amen. I'm glad I've got some good brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when you come around me, that I walk away the better for it. I walk away strengthened and encouraged and blessed because I know you. Amen. Because I fellowship with you. And I pray that would be the same, that when I get around you, that there would be something that would bring hope, and that our lives would be like a breath of fresh air. And you just kind of feel your sails getting filled up with the wind of strength and encouragement and edification because of the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't stay away from church when you find yourself in the doldrums. Get there. Get in the presence of God. Get among the people of God. Make your best effort to get to God's house, because there's strength there. There's help there. Amen. There's a breath of fresh air. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Paul said, I was in Rome. He sought me out very diligently and found me. Amen. What a good friend that this man Onesiphorus was to Paul. Now, he sought me out. He looked for me. He found me and he helped me. He was like a breath of fresh air to me. Let me tell you, we need the power of the Spirit of God. We need the wind of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And we need the people of God. We need brothers and sisters in the Lord, amen, that can bring hope and strength and encouragement and put some wind back in our sails. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. You don't have to stay in that place, that position, that you're just not moving forward. You're not doing anything. You're dissatisfied with where you are, but you don't know how to get out of it. Well, get in the presence of God. Set a watch before the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Believe that God can come through for you. Don't ever think that you are self-sufficient or that you don't need the help of the Lord. You do need the help of God. And you need to call upon the name of the Lord and believe that God can help you in your present situation. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. And Lord, for some in this place today, that they found themselves in the spiritual doldrums and they can't seem to move forward. Lord, they just need the wind of your Holy Spirit to blow upon them, to help them, Lord, to strengthen them and to cause them to be able to move forward. Hallelujah. 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 How wonderful it is to get in the presence of God. Amen. And receive the help that we need in his presence. Glory to God. Amen. I just want to welcome every one of you in this service this morning. Step out. Come around the altars. Let's take an opportunity right now to wait in the presence of the Lord. And if you're in that spiritual state where you're just kind of stuck and you can't seem to move forward, you can, in the power of the Spirit, you can receive strength and help. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Would you find an altar? Let's